Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, it's good to see you. You know that it's actually afternoon for me. So we're I'll say morning anyway, and we'll pretend. Amen. Pretend that it's morning. Well, one of the blessings that I have in my life is the fact that I grew up simple and I'm still simple, so I don't have to get real deep. We're just going to deal with something really simple today, amen? And yet it's an amazing thing how the simple things of God's Word are so profound. And I'm always amazed at what God says and how much it means. Sometimes we look at things, we think, oh yeah, that says, no, every time I look at it, it's different. Every time I look at it, there's something new. Every time I look at it, there's something fresh. And I'm going to ask you to go in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with me this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I've entitled this message, is it off? No, I'm on, yeah, all right. I've entitled this message, Being Incandescent. Being Incandescent. There you go. Say, what in the world? It's not even a biblical term. Well, it's a biblical principle. We're going to figure out that this morning. If you would, stand please in honor of God's Word. If you're able to, we're going to look at one verse. Amen. I'm going to look down for some... We're going to look at one verse here, verse number 22. It says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Did I say 22? I said 23. Well, that's abstain from all appearance of evil. You should know that already. Amen. All right, verse 23. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you, and we want to thank you for this wonderful day, for this great opportunity to be in your house. And Father, I pray that this morning as we look at your word, you just open it unto us. Your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. I pray that right now, we would take time in our own hearts just to make sure that we can listen, that we have our hearts prepared to listen, and that we would just listen to you this morning. And I ask that, Father, you would be exalted by the day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Sanctified holy. That word sanctified is a big word that's very, very much misunderstood, I believe, in the day that we live in. We understand, and we're going to look at that just a little bit this morning, how that our sanctification is basically two phases. We have, first of all, the sanctification from God's perspective, and then the sanctification from our perspective. And I want to look at that just a little bit this morning. The word sanctify has a lot of different ideas, but to cleanse, to purify, to make holy, to separate, to set apart, or to appoint to be holy. So God meant for us to be holy. He meant for us to be sanctified. But in this particular verse, I believe that he's dealing with it from his perspective. You see, when God saved me, he sanctified me. Now, it goes on and it says there, holy. That word holy means complete. But as I studied that word out, it actually means more than just complete. It means complete to the end. This is an eternal security verse, actually. Complete to the end. So the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, or set you apart or separate you wholly unto the end. So this morning, in order to make it really simple, I brought a little child's toy. And so I think it's there's something about seeing things that helps me. I don't know about you, but when I see something, it helps me. And so here's what I want us to gather today, okay? God says something here. Now, by the way, we were all created in the image of God. You guys understand that, right? Okay, we was created in the image of God. And when I talk about that, what I'm talking about is we have a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. His image is body, soul, and spirit. And whenever I talk about it, I talk about it in terms of body, soul, and spirit. However, if you look at the verse here, what we find is that this verse is referring to it from God's perspective, and he looks at it the other direction. He looks at it as spirit, soul, and body. Yeah. Okay, so I see it from this perspective, body, soul, spirit. He sees it from this perspective, spirit, soul, and body. All right? So God's looking at things basically different than you and I do. His ways are much higher than our ways. So when the Bible says He sanctified us, then let's just understand something. He has set us apart. He has made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. From God's perspective, I have been sanctified eternally. Okay? From God's perspective, my sins have been washed away. I'm dead in Christ and risen again in Christ Jesus. I have been set apart. I've been purchased apart from this world. When God looks at me and He looks at my sins, He's blinded by the Son.
Yeah.
He can't see anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm clean, I'm whole, I'm pure, I'm His. Yeah. I'm saved eternally. I can't do anything to lose that because I've been set apart by Him. Praise the Lord. In fact, go if you would please back to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to set this down for a while. Don't forget, we'll be back. Amen. Look over in John, 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, look, we can look at several verses. John is dealing with some things here, and it's a beautiful portion of scriptures. You need to study it, but sometimes people get a lack of understanding of it. But it says in verse 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that He was manifested to take away our sins, for in Him is no sin. Now why? Because He fulfilled the law. In Him, I'm not under the law anymore. Okay? So because I'm not under the law anymore, if you look on down then to verse number 9, it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, when God looks at me, He cannot see my sin. The reason He can't see my sin is because His seed, the Son of Jesus Christ, is my Savior. And when He looks at me, He sees the blood of Christ Jesus. He sees His seed, which died for the sins of the world. That debt has been paid. It's been cleansed. When He looks at me, I'm white as snow. What can wash away my sins? Well, nothing but the blood of Christ Jesus. And so He sees me as holy. So when God looks down, He sees me spirit, soul, and body. It's all been taken care of because He sees me from God's perspective, and He sees me different than what I quite honestly see myself. But herein lies the problem. Go back, if you would please, to Philippians in chapter 2. In Philippians, in chapter 2, Paul is writing these folks, and here he begins to write to them in verse number 12 and 13. Look what he says. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Listen to what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Now, here we find something interesting. Because God says, I cannot sin. He says, you cannot sin because I'm under the blood of Christ Jesus. When God looks at me, He can't see my sin. But on the other side of things, though, Paul is looking at it from another perspective. And Paul's saying, hey, listen, the problem is that we look at it body, soul, and spirit. And so as Paul writes the Philippian people. He tells them that they're going to have to work out their own salvation. Now, does that mean we have to earn our salvation? No. Our salvation has been purchased by God. But here's what happened. When I got saved, I was set apart spiritually. I was set apart intellectually, my soul. But my body hasn't been redeemed yet. My body, I'm going to get a new body when rapture takes place. Amen. My soul is saved forever. When I die, my soul is going to be in the presence of the Lord. My body, though, is going to turn to dust. And it won't be reunited until the time of the rapture when the Bible says, I'll be redeemed and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know why the dead in Christ rise first, don't you? Because they have 6 foot farther to go. Amen. And so the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we within which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the cloud. Meet him in the cloud. So I'm hoping that's today. Amen. But when the rapture takes place, so then my salvation will be complete.
Yeah.
But until the day my salvation is complete, I have this problem, and that is I see everything from this perspective. Now, here's the problem. I live in the flesh. I live in the flesh. Go to Galatians. Just back a few pages to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 17. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do that which ye would. Now that word, when it says that you would not do that which you would, the word would there is the intent. What I want to do is serve God. But my flesh doesn't want to serve God. Do I need to serve God to be saved? No, I've been sanctified. But on this side, the flesh still's alive. And the flesh is wicked. And the flesh doesn't want me to do what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. That's why Paul had to write in Romans chapter 7, the things that I would, I do not, and the things that I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, I find a law then that is in my members, my flesh.
Yeah.
To do good is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Why? Because I see everything from this perspective.
Yep.
Perspective is a major important problem in our Christian lives that we need to deal with then. Let me just help you. You probably know this, but let me deal with perspective just a little bit so you have an understanding of it, okay? Y'all can look up here and pick out something. Pick out the cross up there if you can. If you can't, just pick out something in front of you. Put your finger in front of the cross with both eyes open. Put your finger in front of the cross with both eyes open. Now close your right eye. Okay, open your right eye. Now close your left eye. Now open it. Did you notice that when you did that, one of the eyes, actually the thing really moved, the other one it was fine? The reason is because you have a dominant eye. Your best eye is what sees it first. You have a perspective from your right eye. Now that doesn't mean that your left eye isn't seeing things, but it pulls things back in perspective because you live with a dominant eye. Now, here's the problem that you and I have now that we've been saved, but we're still in the flesh. We've got to determine what is going to be our dominant eye. We have to make that decision. Is the flesh going to control me? Or is it the spirit that's going to control me? If the spirit controls me, I'll see things from God's perspective. If the flesh controls me, I've got a lot of problems in my life. Because the flesh lusteth, the Bible says, to sin. It wants to do wrong. Now the trigger in all this is this part here. The soul. The soul. You see, this is the physical part. This is the intellectual part. And this is the spiritual part. This is the part that desires to worship God. This is the part that desires to worship the flesh. And this is the part that has to make the decision.
Wow.
Your soul. Your soul, let me put it in this way. God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Here's your heart. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what is your dominant lie doing? What's dominant in your life? The flesh or the spirit? It'll be determined by how you think. What you're thinking, what you're control, that's what controls your thought process. So we've got to be careful that we control the thought process. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be transformed by the what? Renewing of your intellect, your soul, your mind. You've got to, if you're going to win this battle, you've got to have the soul making the decisions, controlling you toward spiritual things. And if you're not careful, the soul will begin to allow physical things to control you rather than spiritual things. It's just a fact of life. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, I die daily. What was he talking about? He says, I get up every day and I have to decide who's going to control me. Am I going to consider the spiritual things or am I going to consider the physical things? And he says, I made a decision. And he says, I have to do it daily. Brother Josh mentioned it in Sunday school up here. We were talking and I made this statement. I still have to put safeguards in my life. I have to make decisions that I want spiritual things to control my life and not physical things. I have to put safeguards in my life. So as I allow the flesh to control me, that's the direction I'm going to go and it's going to dominate my life. I don't want that. I don't want my flesh controlling me. But if left to myself, if I don't do anything, that's what's going to control me. Paul, go to Romans chapter 6. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 6. And Paul deals a great deal. Romans chapter 7 is basically all about the flesh. Chapter 6, he's dealing with it as well. In chapter 6, look there at verse number 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. It says, likewise, listen to what he says, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. But listen to this, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Make the decision that you're going to die to self, the flesh. You say, I'm having all kinds of problems in my life. You just don't understand all the things that's going on. That's because this is right here. That's all you see. You're feeding it with this part of you. You're allowing your diet to be constantly fed by your soul with the things of this world. And you're not controlling it. And thus, what you see is, I have problems. I have needs. I want to do this. I want to do that. And God's got you high-centered on the flesh. God doesn't. You have yourself high-centered on the flesh. And it's controlling your thought process. And it's controlling your life. And Paul says if we're going to beat this thing, we've got to be transformed by renewing our minds. Transformed. Now, go to Colossians with me, chapter 1. I haven't really got to the message yet. I'm trying to help us get ready, so because the message is real short. The title of my message I think it'll transform a person's life if they can get this, if they can just practice it. In chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 27... it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles. Listen to this. What is the glory of that? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. My hope for one day being with God in glory. We was talking, somebody said that their mother had graduated to glory. The hope of glory is Christ Jesus in you.
Yeah.
So when I got saved, Christ came into my heart and I was sanctified. His blood covered my sins and God sees me this way. That's in Christ in me. Philippians, when it says work out your own salvation, is not dealing with the fact that Christ is not in me. What it's dealing with is the fact is, am I in Christ? See, Christ is in me. I'm saved. I've been saved since I was 7 years old. I've been saved for right near 60 years. I've been on my way to heaven for 60 years right now, and nothing's deterred that path. There's nothing happened. I didn't do anything to mess it up. Oh, I sinned on this side of things, but in God's eyes, what do you mean? What sins are you talking about? I don't see them. Oh, I see it. Boy, he's clean. He's sanctified. But down here, I know. And so I have to reckon myself every day to die to self. And make the decision to let God reign and live in my life. Now, what he says here is, in Christ I'm saved. But wait a second. What about, where are you at? Are you in Christ? In him. See, that's so very important. That I be in him. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 8. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, we know that we're saved. But God says here, he's not talking about those that have Christ in them. It's talking about those that are in Christ. And what does he say about them? If they're in Christ, they walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. So, what's going on? You make the decision every day who you're going to serve. You make the decision what you're going to do. Go back to Philippians chapter 4. This portion of scriptures is just so amazing, and we miss so many simple things. And I know you've heard it before, and I've been told about it before, and I'm not giving you anything new, but look what it says here in chapter 4. And look at verse number 7 and 8. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now listen to what he says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which we have both heard and received, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He says, listen, you need to decide who you're going to serve.
Yeah.
If the Spirit is going to be in control or if the flesh is going to be in control, you have to make that decision. Huh. Okay, so go back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Aren't you glad you're in an independent, fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church where the textbook is the Bible and we're not taking our word on it, we're taking God's word on this? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that we're not being told a story out of a book that some man wrote, but we have the Word of God that was inspired, preserved, so that we could have truth.
Amen.
Here in verse number 4, he tells us something then that's so very important. He says, abide in me and I in you. There they both are. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Amen. We know that we are to have him in us. But he says, if you're going to bear fruit, he says, you have to be in me. Wow. In me. So then, let me take you for a second. Then back to the verse that I actually started the message with. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24. And look here at verses number 30 through 32. Jesus has resurrected. He was crucified. He was buried. They went to the tomb and it was empty. They're all wandering around, not sure what's going to do. And then one day here comes the Lord. They didn't even know who it was at the time, but look what it says. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. Now listen to this. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. So here's the Lord. He's been resurrected. And at first they didn't even know who he was. They were blind to the fact. But now they become aware of who it is that's got, broke bread with them and who it is that's with them. Now look at verse 32. Listen to what they said. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Did not our heart burn within us? I was looking at that very verse there and that burning of that heart in connection with 1 Thessalonians. Spirit, soul, and body, and understanding that we look at it from the other perspective. But I was looking at that, and that's where this really came from. And I said, something's taking place here that changes this. Something's taking place there. The intellect, or as a man thinketh in his heart. What did they say? While he was with us, while he walked with him, while we walked with him, and he talked with us. My friend, God wants you to walk with him daily. And he wants to talk to you daily. But he says, they said, what happened when that happened? Our hearts burned within us. And I don't know why, but this word incandescent came up. So I looked up the word incandescent. It just came up in my mind. And I looked it up. And here's what the word incandescent means. Emitting light as a result of being heated. Emitting light as a result of being heated. Or full of emotion and passion. You see, what happened is as they walked with God, their hearts began to burn. And when their hearts began to burn, guess what the result is? They became incandescent. And light began to emit out of them. You say, well, I'm not seeing anybody come to the Lord. Nobody. Well, wait a second. Maybe it has to do with your walk. Maybe Christ is in you, but maybe you're not in him. Because if you was walking in him, the result is light.
Yeah.
Now wait a second. So then I began to think about another word. And the word transparent came to my mind. They weren't words in the Bible, but I think you can see the principle of incandescent is what was written, was seen here. Their hearts did burn and they went out and started to, hey, we've seen him. We've seen the Lord. He changed our life. We've seen him. They became incandescent. So then this word transparent came to my mind. Listen to what the word transparent means. Allowing light to pass through so that the objects behind can be distinctively seen, or having thoughts and feelings or emotions that are easy to be perceived. You see, when the light is shining inside of us, it ought to make us transparent so that people can see through us and find out that our motives are pure. And when we are transparent, and by the way, it has to start with being incandescent. It starts with your heart. Is your heart in tune with God? Are you walking with Him? Is He talking with you? And if He's walking and talking and you're together and you're in Him, your heart will burn. And the hotter your heart gets, on fire for God. Amen. That's what He's got. As the hotter your heart gets, the more light comes forth, and as the light comes forth, you become transparent, and all of a sudden, they're able to see you, and your flesh is not what's dominating anymore, because you can't see it anymore. It's transparent. Or in other words, you're no longer a hypocrite. See, a hypocrite is one who feigns to be what he is not. Webster 1828 said this, "One who has a form of godliness without the power."
Yeah.
Wow. We got a lot of people walking around trying to serve God like this, when the truth is that we're supposed to be on fire. That makes the spiritual things most important. And when people see us, they don't see our flesh. They don't see our intellect. They see what is behind us, which is Christ.
Amen.
And this world's tired of seeing this, pretending to be this.
Yep.
They're tired of it. I just want to be incandescent. I want to burn so bright that they can see Christ. And when they look at me and they hear me, it's not what I did, it's what He did. That's what will change the world. But as long as we serve God this way, they just laugh.
Yep.
They need to see Christ Jesus and Him crucified. That's what Paul said. I say to know nothing but Jesus and Him crucified. He wanted people to see this in His life. So I ask you a question. Are you incandescent? Not as I should be. I can say that. Maybe you need to work on your walk then. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, your heart's going to burn. When your heart burns, you're going to emit light. And when light is being emitted, people will see your Savior. They need to see your Savior, people. Yeah. It's not something we should play with. That's why Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What was he talking about? Not earning my salvation. That's in me when I put my trust in Christ Jesus. I got saved. If you haven't done that, you need to take care of it. But when I accepted Him as my Savior, He came in me. But I haven't always walked in Him. And people aren't able to see my Savior when I'm walking in the flesh. They see a hypocrite. Would you bow your heads?